All right. Thank you very much, BBS Radio, for making it possible for us to be heard worldwide over the internet. Today it is Monday, the 5th day of March 2018. Another Monday evening episode with Winfrey and Terry Brown. And I welcome you all. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. And this is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We had several more people join in here over the last minutes. Thank you for being here. And if you want, name and location.
Swim in Sedona.
Welcome, Win. Thank you for being here.
And Chris in Memphis.
Chris, we welcome you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And Michelle in Cambria.
Michelle, good evening to you. Welcome.
Hi there.
Anyone else?
Chris is sounding awfully good tonight. What's going on?
Those just came on board. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hey, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, guys.
And the other person, please say your name and location.
I was trying to. Don in Northern Ohio.
Hi, hello, everybody. Don. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
All right. Anyone else? All right. And welcome to all those listening in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for participating.
Guys, what's the biggest thing you learned from that session on faith?
not what I learned, but more like a little light. Lighting up in my heart, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the true meaning of it, the true energetic, how shall I say, exercise in using it. To finding the confidence within my faith.
Mm-hmm. I just think most people use it with religion.
Yes, you know that is you know, I see such a big difference. I think you can put it outside of yourself as something blind, like if being a follower or being a leader. You know, mm-hmm. Blind follower. I think with faith is the same thing. You can say, okay, I'm just going to have faith and pray. Don't know what I'm praying for, but it can come from a total different angle if you have a heartfelt faith and trust in it.
All those manifestation techniques, they pretty much preach the idea of having a confident expectation and getting a result you want,
mm-hmm.
part of the process, which is pretty much faith, I'd say.
You know, and again, words are very limited in expressing something, in describing something. It's energy cannot be described sometimes, and
mm-hmm.
I think that is, you know, one thing over here.
Okay, I'm going to play a replay today of a talk we did a few months ago on interventions. And hopefully it's going to start. I think when we have trouble starting them, it's when it's a long call. I tested it earlier, and it started. It's kind of embarrassing when we go through this.
I got the feeling it also has to do with the amount of traffic
on the call?
Yes. Well, you know, on the call or just in general, you know, on the internet.
Right. Or maybe how many people are doing it. Here we go. We're going to start it. Cross our fingers here.
Start recording?
Oh, yeah. Hang on.
I got it.
This conference is being recorded.
This is...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
December 4th, 2017. And actually, this is a replay.
And Terry in Sedona.
Let me just say, this is a replay, and today is March 5th, and we're playing a talk we did on interventions. Here we go. Hopefully, it'll start. I shouldn't have messed with it. It says playback fails.
Yeah, and that happens when you pause it. That's pretty common to happen. So I'm looking on my end. Is it uploaded files or recordings?
It's a recording, uploaded file. Okay. And okay. Now I know never to do that again. Huh?
You're saying it's an uploaded file, correct? Because I'm looking, I don't see it.
It's the one all the way at the bottom.
All the way? All right.
Last okay. one.
Here goes.
This is September 4th, 2017. And Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and this is our Monday night call, and we did announce yesterday, I believe. I better mute everybody. Here we go. That we were going to do a channeling session today, but I don't know if we're going to do what we said we're going to do, okay? We may have some questions around that, but if it happens spontaneously, it happens. But we were having a little discussion before I started the recording about the Ra group, and I believe this is about the Elohim group, too. When we try to imagine a group soul, when I try, you know, there is a certain block that makes it hard to visualize them. And, you know, if I'm talking to you, I can visualize, even when I don't see you, I can visualize a human. I know you're a human. And I know certain things about humans. But when we're talking to what identifies itself as a group soul, which we do all the time on these calls, we don't have any physical representation. Now, I ask them questions about what is it like to be you. I just muted a sneeze. Good work, Wynn. And even when they describe it, it's hard to visualize, okay? But in terms of asking questions, one of the answers to the questions I've asked, true for both the Ra group and the Elohim group, is both groups fan out through many dimensions. So when we're talking to the Elohim, we're most likely talking to a branch of the Elohim that fans out
into another dimension, lower dimensions, but it's still the Elohim. And maybe we're talking to grace, which seems to be Elohim in the highest dimension. And when we're talking to the Rod Room, we're also talking to a group soul that fans out through a number of dimensions. There can be Ra in the fifth dimension, Ra in the fourth, Ra in the third. But because they are all connected to the law of one, they can all flow together. So we have, even though we have Ra in the fourth, fifth, and sixth, we only have one Ra in that moment, okay? In other moments, we have Ra that is separated. Somewhat like when we come into these calls. We are all different. We are all at different levels. We are at different locations. But we have the experience of coming together, and suddenly the differentiations are less pronounced. We come together and we have a oneness. And then, in theory, from postulate, we can come together with the energies of the sources. So what's happening is we're having a demonstration of the law of one. But it's not a scientific demonstration, because there's no way we can prove that's happening. We have to go into an intuitive looking at it and saying, yes, that's the explanation. Why is it we can come onto this call and feel energy in our space, no matter where we are? Where is that energy coming from? If we ask the Elohim, they'll say, it's them. And so, in order to have energy pouring in simultaneously to different locations, then there has to be, it's not like there's one being that's doing that. Or there is one being that's doing that, that's working through lots of beings that are coming through the matrix till the energy hits us. So, you know, we have to validate what we're saying here by the experience of how the energy feels and what they say. And if you notice myself, I can say what they say, but then on some level, I need to validate it. And I'm telling you how I validate it, whereas this amazing experience that we are creating, where we come together and suddenly there's an energy tying us all together. And, you know, sometimes I talk about this being an epic event. And I was thinking, you know, Terry had a connection with Socrates. And thinking about Socrates, and probably there's other people that are, would fit this as well. Socrates was a rebel. He had absolutely no care. Let me mute those. things. Okay, the demons are muted. Socrates had no care of becoming famous. He operated in the trenches. He would just leave his house every day. You know, when you start to realize these people, these are real people. These are real people. And Socrates was not trying to be a famous philosopher. He didn't even write books. And he just went, hung out, talked to people all day in the cafes. And yet, he became known as one of the wisest people that ever lived. And, of course, what happened was Plato, who was one of his students, that would meet with him every day. And Plato came from a wealthy, privileged background. When Socrates finally died or was poisoned, Plato wrote up Socrates' teachings. And that's how Socrates became famous. And in a sense, and I'm not saying that we are locked into this. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be famous. I don't care about being famous at this point, mostly. But it's certainly possible. Some people think being on George Norrie is making you famous. And in a certain sense, that is a certain level of fame. But, you know, we come out and we do this now every day. It's more, it's got a similarity to Socrates in the 21st century, you know, because we are being with you. We are one with you. There's no hierarchy here. You may think there is, but there isn't. I mean, when the phone hangs up and I'm by myself, I still got lots of you in my mind. I can feel the energy of the calls. Derry certainly feels the energy of the calls. And I know how important it is to you that we're here doing this. And so will this, you know, hit the masses? I don't know. I don't know if it will or if it won't. Someday we're going to die, and it depends on you guys. Is there a Plato out there? Somebody has to find it important enough. We're leaving a legacy. We got 1500 to 2,000 conference calls in the Spirit Channel. So that's kind of my view of this. And I think it fits. I don't think I'm an egomaniac to look at it that way. I just think it fits that. And I'm not doing it for that reason. Who knows why I'm doing it at this point? I'm doing it because I can see the impact of it. And I can see the service that's being created. And it's like, once you know that, once you see that, and then if you don't do it, you feel guilty, unless you go into a higher service. So, you know, guilt is the thing that keeps us somewhat in line. Also, protection. Because once you start operating at this level of hologram, putting things into the planet, you attract the attention of negative sources. And we've talked about that sometimes, some of the things that have happened that would be negative attacks. And one of the things that keeps protection is, it's like once you hit a certain speed, you have to keep that speed, because maybe it would be like the negative can see you speeding, but they can't catch you until you slow down. That's a good line. Okay. The negative can see the speed, but as long as you're speeding, you're one step ahead of them. But as soon as you stop speeding, in other words, you let it down, you start falling backwards, and they have the potential to grab you. That may be an important principle for some of you, because the negative will attempt to create fear of doing things. And every time you get into the speed mode, they will create fear to make you fall backwards, and then they'll attack you. And you say, see, I better be careful, because I'll get attacked if I do that. Well, you're not getting attacked because you're doing it. You're getting attacked because you're doing it and falling backwards, and then you get attacked. I have a question about that tonight. Terry, is that an interesting idea?
Yeah. Hello?
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
Is that an interesting idea?
Could you summarize it in one sentence?
No.
Okay.
Are you sleeping?
As I recall, it was a good idea, but it wasn't
you forgot.
Well thought of what it was.
Are you sleeping? You're not sleeping, are you? Hello?
No, I'm awake. Hello? Hello?
Okay. All right. So, let's go into session mode, okay?
Okay.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here with you this fourth day of September 2017. And we are here to assist. If we ever say anything that does not resonate, then disregard it, as it is not meant for you. Sometimes when someone asks questions, another may have the same exact question, but the answer may be different person to person. Our energy hearts go out to all of you. Do you have questions?
Well, while we were preambling this call, I had made a certain amount of my observations about how it works. And I just thought maybe you'd just get your confirmation to some of the things I was saying. For example, that the Elohim is a group soul and the Ra group, or both group souls that have multiple participants or members, and you fan out into multiple dimensions. And the Ra...
And multiple departments within.
Multiple what?
Departments and responsibilities.
Multiple departments, right. So when we talk to you, there's an illusion that we are talking to a single conscious entity, but that you come together and that we're really talking to a multiple group of entities simultaneously.
Yes.
That are all in different timelines. And
we'll come together in the same timeline for the call when asked.
Yeah, we'll come together. And then at one point, just recently, I heard the word, it's like a switching station up there, where we'll ask...
That is heaven. Heaven is like a train station where people meet, and it is not exactly like that, but people meet, and then they're helped or assisted, and then they get to choose where they wish to go, if they wish to go after that.
You're talking about in your realms, correct?
In the heaven realm, which is not exactly our realm.
Well, this is beyond, this is higher than the heaven realm, right?
Yes.
You know, we're talking, there's a switching, I'm trying to get it so people can visualize it. There is a switching station or a focal point, a one point, and then all of these beings from the Elohim group and some from the Ra group arrive at that focal point to be here.
Well, we wouldn't call it arrive. We're just there. We can be there or not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're focusing on that one area that comes to us, okay?
Yes.
It's not like you're traveling there, because you're multidimensional.
No.
You're a multidimensional group.
We're there. But, we're there or we're not.
Yeah, but you're choosing to be there because you decided that this is important and that
yes.
it's a place to manifest, okay? So,
well,
or to bring information or to help, okay?
Yes. Yes,
and
but
then,
we can be anywhere. We don't have to be
yeah.
a particular place.
And then, as we're talking, there's all these people listening. There's people listening on the internet, and there's people listening on the phone line. When I say all, not a huge amount, but a small amount compared to the population, a very small amount compared to, you know, the population of the planet. But
and
not,
we love you.
Thank you. And we love you, too. But while we're communicating to you, you have the ability to scan the people that are listening.
Yes.
And is there a separate group of you that does that scanning? Or is
we
it...
We are one. You're one or we are not one. It depends
yeah.
on what is needed.
So on the call, you come together and are one. You're acting as one group.
Yes.
Okay?
But we are multidimensional, so we can... We're non-linear, so we can be with each and every one at the same time.
Yeah. And that's because time is different there.
We don't
so,
think of time. Time is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. So you're always there. And
if we want to be.
If you want to be, because you have free
yes.
will just as well.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And that, I think this is a very good topic because it gives people an idea of how they access you. And
we are there. If they talk to us, we see their life, depending upon their intention, how strong is their intention. And
mm-hmm.
we listen.
Okay. So, if we are talking about the Ra group, and part of you is the Ra group.
Yes.
The Ra group also has the ability to come into people's spaces, right?
Yes.
But it's in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, when the Ra group was coming into, there was a thing where they said, we have a team, we can surround you, and we give you more or less depending on your predisposition to service. Something like that, you know?
Well, if they are of a service, then they intersect more with us.
Yeah. So, when we do whole planet healing, and of course that's really the essence of that call is service to the planet, right?
Yes.
And when we do that, I sometimes visualize people being surrounded by the Ra group. And that I've seen pictures where when the Ra group comes close to 3D, they look like orbs. In other words, the orb holds the consciousness.
They can.
That's not the only way.
Yes.
Okay. Why would a Ra group or any being come through as an orb? And what? Give me an example of another way that... a Ra group would come into this realm.
To come through with a light body as a that has the ability to move into an orb, or to take form, different forms, to form in the image of a person.
So the Ra group can take a form and look visible to us.
Yes.
as was described in that session we did, where one of the beings came in who supposedly did a manifestation in Egypt. Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Has that happened at other times besides Egypt? That you would like to share with us? It's okay to hear.
Yes. It has happened at other times when it was deemed appropriate.
When it was what? Deemed appropriate.
Yes. For instance, to enter as a guide and to be with someone as a guide and to help them at times of needed assistance.
Mm-hmm. But would that, would the Ra group enter in a way that the person felt them inside themselves, or enter where they were visual, or both?
They can enter as a voice, or enter as a multidimensional presence. They can change form if they wish to
be the service. If they come in as a form, could they lift something up? I mean, can they actually do something in 3D? Or are they just a visual form? And are they only visible to the person? Like if somebody else walked in the room, would they not see them?
They may not be visible to the person, or they may be visible to others that walk in who have that capability, but they may not be visible.
Mm-hmm.
Can they lift something up? It is possible under certain circumstances they can. The same as a ghost can sometimes hold the door shut or can exert knocks on the door or can lift tables or do various phenomena.
So according to the both the Edgar Cayce readings and the Ra material readings, the pyramids were built by levitation.
Yes.
There was more to that than the Ra group just lifting rocks. There
yes.
was something said, there was a sound. There must be a whole incredible technology.
Yes.
I use the word technology. It's not like abracadabra.
It is directing energy in ways that affect the manifest.
Yes, and I believe, I can't remember now, it was something said there was sound used.
Yes, there's certain vibrations help to fortify the lifting capacity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is it precise sound frequencies? Like
yes.
if people were there and they watched the process.
Yes, it depends on what is being lifted.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to resonate it and to
mm-hmm.
place a platform underneath it of lifting power ability.
So if somebody was present while that was taking place, would they hear the sound?
It could possibly be heard, or depending upon the materials being left in, it mm-hmm. may be out of the hearing range of the people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen YouTubes of people who are levitating objects. What's it called? Kinesthetics? Uri Geller might have been able to do that. He certainly could. There were demonstrations where people put broken watches on their TV sets and watched Uri Geller, and the watches repaired themselves. Many different kinds of manifestations.
There's also a process of taking the time period back to where the watch worked and to resetting the time period to where it worked.
When you talk about resetting the time of the watch back,
it didn't change the time of the watch, but just reset the operation of the watch mm-hmm. to a time when it worked.
How about a healing with a person? Does that work in a similar manner, where
yes.
the time is reset in the person?
Yes.
For
yes.
example,
Jesus used that so that one could move into the time when the sore would be healed and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the future, and it would heal faster.
If it is okay to not violate Kimberly's process, and she's working with a team, is that part of the way that they operate?
We do not wish to go into the way Kimberly operates and her team. This
mm-hmm.
is her team, and this is their process. It does change somewhat depending upon what the person needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me ask a general question. You mentioned Jesus.
Yes.
With healers in general, I would guess that this is a common way that healings take place.
It is one of the ways.
One of the ways. Okay.
Yes.
What are some of the other ways?
Since everything is in the now, and it is merely being in the moment of creation, and to move to the creation, eliminate the strands, the strings that have been set up for the manifestation of the illness, to remove those and to reset them in present time.
Mm-hmm. When humans do this, are able to help another person, the other person has to participate in some level on the
They have to be open to it.
Open to the idea of it, yes?
Yeah, vulnerable to it, yes. To be open to the process.
Mm-hmm.
Some are so convinced that the manifestation can't be changed without a lot of work and effort, that then it is harder to work with
mm-hmm.
them.
I see. So when that happens for someone, they also had aspects of themselves that were creating the dysfunction.
Well, so, yes, sometimes the person can block energy. For instance, if a person is not totally truthful and has to withhold some of the things that they might have said because that would not be acceptable, then they place a blockage on their throat chakra, their heart chakra, and their way to give and take energy in the energy chakra, the control, and even in the how they are grounded in the foundation chakra. And this makes a tremendous detuning of all the chakras, and they cannot envision things because they are blocking seeing certain things so that they will be consistent. And their energy cannot then be shared openly with the manifest universe. And then it can, since it is not giving and receiving proper energy in some area, like in the throat, in the throat chakra, then their thyroid doesn't get as much energy as it could, and their thymus doesn't get as much energy as it could. And then their whole body begins to be skewed as to how it processes energy, and then they get sicknesses.
So if a person wants a healing, it would be good for them to, first of all, clean up their act, not do anything dishonest or unethical.
Which would be very hard if someone is trying to be consistent with with some way they did not feel.
And another thing is, if they are striving to do good works,
yes,
to help other people,
yes,
even when they are, say, in certain disease modes, they start building up their self-worth, which
that
allows...
That will be helpful. That will be helpful, yes.
Allows the receptivity
yes.
to these energies. Yes?
Yes, yes.
And then...
They begin to build a new image.
Yes. So, there's a lot more to miraculous healings than meet the eye, I would say.
Well, to remove unwanted, unnecessary impedances to the healing would be the biggest part of that.
When the Ra group did their manifestation in Egypt, where they were, as I understand it, doing a lot of healings. As I recall in the Edgar Cayce readings, there were a number of people that were, and I imagine this was because of Anunnaki experiments, that were half human and half animal. You know, we have legends of things like centaurs and mermaids and
yes.
other things, you know, very horrific. Well, maybe they weren't horrific, I don't know. But unusual, this was the result of genetic experiments, yes?
Yes.
And the Ra group was trying to repair these things.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And how could they repair a genetic experiment that was in the DNA?
It's the result was in manifest body that did not work. It will simply not go forward.
Mm-hmm. So did the Ra group change the DNA so the person would change their form?
Usually the body would be isolated out and the person given, if it could not be corrected by surgery, would be given the best life possible and not allowed to procreate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if that person procreated, they would create more of the same, yes?
Or different monstrosity forms.
Mm-hmm. Was that just done like a scientific experiment to see what could be done?
Yes.
And there were other times in the development of humans where there have been attempts to create not necessarily hybrids with animals, but to create a more perfect human. For example, with Hitler, there was the idea of creating the perfect master race, okay? And underlying...
It went beyond beauty, or beauty of form, and it went into the potential of having hearing increased, or vision increased, or the senses heightened or lessened. There were many experiments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? It's 6:58, and we're supposed to be off the air right now. So is there anything you'd like to say to close this session?
We assist where we can, and if you have requests, please just let us know. Just talk them into the air, and with the force of your intention, they will be known.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. And thank you, Terry, for coming through this. And I want to ask that we just have Terry have a complete healing for wherever she is out of balance physically. And anyone else on this call, there were some keys here. And I hope you'll take them up and work on fixing yourself. Okay. And on that note,